Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning and welcome to Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we bring awareness to people and organizations who are doing great things and making a big impact in our community in a number of different ways. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. Imagine for a moment that you are looking to fill an important position at your company, and you just interviewed someone who seems perfect for the job. Their skill set, although not 100% match to the position, is close to requirements, and they have a great attitude, a willingness to learn new things, and you really just like them. You have a feeling, a good feeling about them, and you're getting ready to make an offer, but then you find out that there are some mistakes they've made, some things in their past that are, shall we say, less than desirable. And you start to question, is it a game changer, or do you go with your gut and make the offer? There's a famous quote that you may have heard before by Alexander Pope that says, to err is human, to forgive divine. It's also been said that choosing to have a forgiving attitude can change your life as well as the lives of others. Are you going to be the one who forgives mistakes of the past and instead choose to focus on the positive and the value of moving forward and perhaps changing the life of someone and their family for the better? We're going to talk with two nonprofit organizations that deal with this challenge and many others every day. They work with people that have those perhaps less than desirable things or challenges from their past, but they choose to focus on the positive and give the people they serve reason to believe in a hope and a future. Are you willing to do the same? My first guest today is Classy Thompson, newly appointed executive director of the Community Warehouse, whose mission is to transform the lives of those impacted by incarceration through love, patience, kindness, and compassion. Welcome to the show today, Classy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So first of all, congratulations on your new role.
Thank you.
Tell us what it is about the Community Warehouse that made you want to be a part of the mission and the vision.
So the number one thing is being a place that just, it's judgment free, right? They just genuinely love people and want to see that person see the best in themselves. That's a game changer right there, you know? And so a mission like that of someone who just want to transform people through loving them and providing them with, you know, different words from Christ or learning different things, but also always states, we don't shove religion down anyone's throat. We want it to happen naturally. Mm. And that was the number one thing that took me there, where I was like, this is a place I want to be. This is something that it's going to change so many lives of people, and I want to be part of that.
And love is a universal language, right? I mean, Everybody speaks that language. So why not show that everywhere we go, right? Well, talk about some of the most pressing challenges that individuals face when reintegrating into society after incarceration.
One of the biggest challenges that I can speak to is a lot of people are placed back in survival mode. When they get out, they have to figure life all over. Some people, when they come to us, their family is gone. It's some realities that you never notice. Mom and dad may have passed the time they spent in jail. Everybody's not opening their door for them, so they're facing homelessness. But then they've been told they need to get a job. Well, you can't do much without an address to say this is where I stay. Can't get a bank account. You can't do any of that. And then some people don't even have cell phones or know how to utilize them. So they run into these challenges of being stepped into the everyday life of the world where they don't even have essentials to get started. So those are the most two pressing challenges I can speak to. There's just so many different ones. Some places, it's different. State and federal are totally different. So we have seen people come from the federal system that it's their first time in Wisconsin. Not one family member. Mm. They can't do anything until their time is over. At where they're staying is, which is a place called Parson House. So they're stuck here. And they have no way to navigate. They don't know where to catch a bus. Mm. They don't know anything to do. And you have to try to guide them at the same time of helping everybody at different levels.
Yeah, you're their family, right? Unless they have someone in their life who sees the potential in them and can help them make some changes and help them walk a path of success and, you know, what does that look like in the future for them? It's wonderful that you're there to stand in the gap. Tell us about the programs or the services that your organization offers to aid individuals during this reentry process.
So what we do is we do our Partners in Hope program, which runs under our community warehouse. We do a 5-day cohort. And in that cohort, we focus on things like who's in your phone, who was there for you. Mm-hmm. We focus on them getting a job, but that's not the number one focus. It's trying to help change their mindset, that first transformation piece that can land them right back where they came from. And as we do that, we also offer 60-day paid training at Community Warehouse.
Paid training,
yes.
Very good.
Within those 60 days, we do a forklift certification for them, and we teach them the skills of today's society of clocking in and out with a computer set and registers, just different things that they would need to find just an entry-level job to help them out. So those are the two programs that we currently are offering. And then we give them mentors. So if they want them. Again, we are a program that wants you to transfer, but at your own pace. We're not forcing you or saying you have to do this. But a lot of people take the mentors, and it helps them a lot. That person is someone they can call, especially, as we said before, if they don't have family or you're not always comfortable with talking to your family. You don't want to feel judged, so they reach out to them, and the mentors help out a lot, too. Especially those in 60-day paid training where we can reach out to them and say, hey, do you think you can come take such and such to lunch today? They seem kind of down, or it's just different avenues to that that helps out a lot. And then when it's time for them to finish up their 60 days, they go through different sit downs, and then we can partner them with one of our partners who actually pays them more and come with better benefits. But that's the point of our program. We just want them to grow but not get comfortable and want to stay there. We want them to want more for themselves.
Okay. Be so comfortable with the uncomfortableness
yes.
of the situation. Don't stay stuck. So you have these mentors that help the people that you're serving. They go through 60-day job training paid, which is really interesting, and then they graduate.
So their graduation happens after the 5 days that they're with us. We have a big graduation at Friday that everyone is open to, and we tell them to invite their family down as well. And then after the 60 days, it's a graduation for them when they can find another employer that will take them on. And I mean, a lot of them find awesome jobs and great benefits, and they be excited. So that's how that works. And now I just want to make it clear, because some people may ask, well, what if they're not ready in 60 days? We have came across special circumstances where we can extend it to an additional 30 days to try to help them out and say, okay, you're just not ready yet, so let's make sure that we get you all the way ready before we can give you over to another job or anything like that.
Yeah, because I imagine the goal is success, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to push them to the point where they may go backwards, right? So you want to make sure that they're prepared, and then give them a situation where they can connect with other organizations that will offer job opportunities. We know that collaboration is so important for any organization, whether that's for-profit or nonprofit, because it brings like-minded people together for a common mission and maximum impact. So we'll take a quick break and then talk more with Classy about partnerships that they've developed to enhance and extend the services that they offer. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking with Classy Thompson, Executive Director of Community Warehouse. So we talk a bit about the importance of collaboration, as I said, and how partnerships can enhance and extend your mission. So tell us, Classy, how Community Warehouse collaborates with other stakeholders, such as community organizations and employers, to improve reentry outcomes.
So we do have quite a few collaborations, but one of our biggest ones is we have a home to stay event every first Wednesday of the month. And down there we have several resources that come down from all different areas. And what we down there, it's people, it's just not people from incarceration. They can bring their family too. Mm-hmm. If they have family members that need help looking for resources, their children come sometimes with them, and down when they come down there, they're able to look at different housing, different employment, just so many great opportunities for everyone to connect and for them to find all the resources they need down there to look. And then we also have a map that they use to go to different tables.
Okay. So basically a resource night.
Yes.
You know, come and see how we can help you.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Well, let's talk about impact. How do you engage the impact of your efforts in facilitating successful reentry?
So, well, how we measure our success is based on the individuals that come back with success stories and not numbers. So we don't utilize how many people graduated or how many people we got to come down to a resource fair, but those who were successful that came through the program. And we see those people actually come back and bring people with them.
Okay.
Because it helps them, and they're like, this is a great place for you to get started.
Sure. They provide inspiration, I would imagine.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's how we gauge with those. And we have find it very, it works great for us.
Okay.
It works really great.
Okay. Well, you mentioned success stories. Let's talk about that. Do you have success stories or milestones that you've accomplished in helping individuals with reentry?
Yes, so we have several success stories to talk about, but there's an individual one, we can call him Joe, who came through the program and started his own program, but came back, and he made sure that when he came back, he gave to those around him as he was building up what he had going on, and he still engaged with us, no matter what's going on with him on the outside, or how successful he's getting, he comes back home. Mm-hmm. And when he comes back, he introduces other people into what we have going on. And, you know, it's one of those things that those are success stories, those people who can come back exactly where they started, bring people around them and say, this is where it all started.
Absolutely. I mean, what a better way to talk about POP or proof of performance. You know, we talk about how do you know that this stuff is working, right? Well, it's through the people. You know, if this person, again, let's call him Joe, experienced success, encouragement, compassion, patience, love, kindness, all those things when he was at Community Warehouse going through your program, and now he wants to go share that with other people. Think about how that inspiration is like a domino effect, and then he brings people back. That's such a great way to talk about your success and to know that things work. Any other stories?
So I do have another success story, but this story is a little bit different. So there was a graduate that I wasn't informed that he was a graduate of the program. When I was working at Community Warehouse, I ran a store there in the beginning on North Avenue. And he would come in, and his name is LT Austin. He would bring in gentlemen and try to find them employment. And he would pull me to the side and he'll say, hey, this person is a great guy. This is a great kid. You may have to, you know, steer him a few times and things, but if you just give him a chance, he, you know, he's going to do great things for you. And so first person I took in, he was right. And so I was like, okay, this guy is actually bringing good workers. Like, this is going to work out. So he continues to follow up. He cares about the young man. He brought in, I mean, to the point, at one point I'm like, wait, this is not his child. He's like, oh, no, it's part of a program I work with. And I was like, oh, okay, awesome. So we happened to be outside one day, and at that time our former CEO says, hey, how you been since you graduated? I never knew he's part of this program, right? And I'm just thinking, here it is, this man, he's just so compassionate, and he's so caring, and he's just focused on steering people right, and he also cares about the employer, right? He's like, I mean, if it's something wrong, you just contact me. And I was like super excited to know he was just giving back from something he already experienced. And it was from his heart that he cared. And I mean, over time we grew a great friendship where I would call on him for things and be like, hey, I'm going through this at the store. Could you help me out? Or, you know, and he would follow up, and he never once stopped following up. Never once had he turned his back up against anything I called him for. If he couldn't figure it out, he would always say, well, let me look into it. I'm going to give you a card right back. Right.
And that's, again, such a great impact story, because that tells us that what you're doing is really working. And so, LT, wherever you are, we give you praise. We thank you for the fact that you have taken to heart what you learned at Community Warehouse and Partners in Hope, excuse me, and you went out and you helped others. You were helped, and then you turned around and you helped others. So that is such an awesome example and such a great impact story. Thanks for sharing that. Well, wrapping up the interview, we always want to end with a call to action. You know, people are listening to your story, listening to how you're making an impact in the community. What if there's somebody listening that says, I want to be a part of that? I want to find out more information about who these people are that are doing this great work. How can listeners get a hold of you? And is there any way that they can help with your mission?
Well, one thing I would ask them that would help the most for us is our doors is open, and they can come to a Wednesday night huddle. We have them every Wednesday. What we do is we share a meal with each other. The meal is free, and we just talk about our week, and we humanize everyone down there. Mm. We don't shut our doors to anyone. We want everyone to come and just talk about what their week is. Sometimes when people are talking, some people say, I thought I had a bad week. And then some people who feel like they've done nothing, they are so encouraged by that small milestone that they made that they just hear the clapping and the cheering, and you just see their face lighten up. And you hear the voice change, and it becomes a strong voice of, and then next time I'm doing this. You know, like, I'm giving you something more to clap about next week. So that is the one thing I would ask listeners to do. Just come spend time with us and enjoy a meal for free.
Okay. Are you ever looking for volunteers to help in any capacity?
Yes. We're always looking for volunteers. But before they do that, we just like for them to come eat with us and get a feel of where they feel like they fit best with us.
Okay. And what about gifts, like financial gifts, or if somebody has things to donate? Are you ever looking for anything like that, or is that kind of on your website?
Yeah. So if they are, they can Google Partners in Hope. That's the best thing to do, is just Google the Partners in Hope, and it will bring it up, and they'll see the Community Warehouse connected to it, so they can have both in one. So the Partners in Hope is the best one to Google.
Okay. So if you're listening today and you love the mission of Community Warehouse and Partners in Hope, I would say check them out, go to their website, go to University of Google, put in their Partners in Hope or Community Warehouse, and just see what they're all about. And if it's something that resonates with you, go down and share a meal with them on a Wednesday night. I think that would be great. So thank you, Classy Thompson, Executive Director of Community Warehouse. Thank you for sharing the mission of Community Warehouse and for joining us for our interview today. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Well, what's exciting is that Classy talked about a very unique and inspirational story of a gentleman named L.T. Austin. And I am happy to say that we are going to bring him into the show so we can hear his personal story. So if you're excited to hear more, stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Julie Conimo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And my next guests today are L.T. Austin, as I said before, and Bob Wolf, who are founders of a nonprofit called Hope Through Restoration. Welcome to the show today, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, LT, let's start with you. We kind of got a little bit of history or a little bit of a story. We feel like we know you. We got the 411 on LT Austin and some of the great things that you're doing. Tell us a little bit about why you started Hope Through Restoration.
Well, I guess I have to start back when how I met Bob. I went through the program in 2014. I was coming back from prison. And they had a program called Milwaukee Working. It's now Partners in Hope. And my PO had me going through something, you know, I had to do something positive. And so they had a resume building job readiness program. And I went there, and I'm from the inner city of Milwaukee. So when I saw these guys from Elmbrook Church, and I'm like, what are you doing in this hood? We're on 29th and North Avenue. And that's where I'm from, so I'm like, this doesn't make sense. I said, wow. So I just thought it was a hustle. They was making money off us, because I've learned in my walk that there's a lot of people make money off the inner city, us poor folk. And so I just felt that was the part of that. And one time I went through the training with the forklift, and I crashed and hit the garage door. And so Bob had to take me to get a UA, and that was the first time we had spent some time alone. And so I asked him, I'm like, what are you doing here? What are you doing down in the inner city? You know, and then he told me, he said, well, we came down here to help. You know, I care about you guys. And so he was just kind of showed me some genuine love and acceptance. I felt a draw. And so I said, well, Bob, I said, something was happening. I think I had to go to the dentist or something. I said, I have a gum disease. He said, hey, one of my Bible study brothers, he's a dentist. He can get you in and do some work with you pro bono. And I'm like, yeah, right, you know. But then he did, and then I went, and I'm like, wow. So that really had an impact on me. So when I finished the program, I graduated the program, and the program had, it was a huge, I felt comfortable there. I felt like I belonged. It was so non-judgmental, you know, and from where I came from. And so when I graduated, I wind up still going back into the same kind of community that I was in. And mind you, I had been in and out of prison 4 or 5 times, in and out of treatment, wrestling with this substance abuse. And so I never forgot about that. And then when I wound up going back to jail, and it was just for a short period of time, but when I got out, I had my mind made up. I never forgot the love that he showed me. Mm-hmm. And so I made my mind up. I wanted to do what he was doing. I wanted to care for people. So I went back to school. And another one of my mentors, Clem Richardson, he went through what I went through, and I saw him making it. He had been out for about 15 years out of the streets, and I was like, how did you do it? And he turned his life over to God, and he was telling me about his walk. And I'm like, okay, well, it's possible. I don't have to die like this. And so it gave me hope. And so I went back to school. I started volunteering. I started mentoring at Partners in Hope. And then I went and worked with WCS once I graduated with my bachelor's. And I was working with the youth as an employment and education specialist. Chad, the director, one of the directors there, he said, hey, how about being a peer specialist? He felt that my past made a difference, and he saw how I cared about what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize my past had value like that. So it was kind of, it was huge. I mean, really, before that was a check mark, now it's a plus. And so I started working with the youth. It was really rewarding just to be able to engage with some of the youth from the same community I come from. I was involved in a lot of gangs, and so I could understand what they were doing, and I could understand the pain they were going through. And so that's when I started to look for Bob. I found Bob to thank him for just showing me that there was a different way to live. And so when I got with Bob, I said, I reached out to him through the Nick Ringer. He was running it back then, and he found Bob for me. We connected, and I told him, I just thanked him. And then we started connecting. I told him what I was doing, and then he said, hey, well, let's look at a nonprofit. And that's how we got involved. I met with Mike Murphy, because I was constantly coming down mentoring guys, and I was working with the youth, coming down to Partners in Hope. And then I was telling Mike Murphy that I had a desire to want to provide housing for these guys, because I know that's what I needed. Mm-hmm. When I was out there, going back to the same environment kept me in that vicious cycle. And we started an after-incarceration group where we would go in and out of these facilities and just witness to the guys and just kind of bring them some hope, mm-hmm. some hope through our restoration. That's why we call it Hope Through Restoration.
So
that's kind of how we got started. And then me and Bob and Mike Murphy, we got together, and Mike kind of said, hey, let's work with a nonprofit. He walked me through getting it, my 501c3, and it was just, our program is God-inspired. I don't want to make it sound like it's, but it is, because it was not in the plan. I just wanted to let people know that they didn't have to die like this. I wanted to give them the good news that, hey, because I thought that's where my destiny was. Mm. You know, I was 48 years old when I came out of the streets. Mm. You know, you kind of think that's the way the world is. And so
you've seen it look different, and then you wanted to share that and inspire with others.
Yes.
That's the way it should be. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Bob, I'm sure you it's very fulfilling to know that you are able to help someone change their life, turn their life around, and then go and together have a mission to help others, right? Tell us what the mission actually is and the vision for Hope Through Restoration.
Yeah, well, Hope Through Restoration, as LT mentioned, is really focused on the restoration of lives, and specifically in this case, men's lives. And so the restoration of men is really helping them understand they have value not only in society. They have talents that God's given them that they have the ability to live out. And then they also have extreme value with their children and in the community and the neighborhood. So Hope Through Restoration was built on helping them get restored to their God-given talents, to be able to use them, and then also to know that they have value to give back as well. I heard your earlier show with Classy at Partners in Hope. Partners in Hope is really around job and job seeking and the restoration of them so they can hold jobs and get rid of all the stuff they had to deal with in their background. But the one key piece that LT mentioned is the key piece that was missing is housing in a faith-based manner. There's plenty of apartments to rent down there. They're usually overpriced. They're pretty ratty in many cases. And there's really nothing that gives men a way to get out of the chaos that they've grown up in or lived in, so that they can focus on their own restoration and then hopefully get reengaged with their family. So that's what Hope Through Restoration does, is give these men and young men a way to not only restore themselves first and know that they have value, but then also to get reengaged with their children, their families, and help restore neighborhoods and families.
What would you say is different then about the program that you have? You know, what is it that makes it unique or different from others?
It's all about, well, LT and Clem are the big reasons. I mean, you got to have love and you got to have compassion, which we talked about. But at the same time, lived experience. If I went to the city and, I mean, although LT and I have become very good friends, we're the closest of friends. But if I'm telling somebody what they could do to transform their life, they're not listening to me. Mm-hmm. LT's been through it all. He's seen all that they're going through, has experienced it. And now that they say, oh, this guy knows what I'm really talking about. This guy's been where I've been. So I do truly have hope. And then they're going to listen to him because he's done it and he's come out the other side. And right. So he really becomes a beacon of light to them.
Absolutely. Why would you say that this is such an important aspect of your program?
I can say that coming from the inner city, in my neighborhood, 80% of us didn't have father figures in our lives. And so the men that we followed, or the men that took the time to kind of teach us things, were the gang members, the drug addicts, the drug dealers, the thieves, those with the bad information. They gave us some bad information, but at the time, they were the ones that gave us some time to talk with us, so we grew to care and listen to them and respect what they had to say. For me, I was walking with some strongholds in a belief system that in my heart I felt was wrong, but because all it was around me, that's what I had to conform to that way of being. And so just being able to accept myself, someone accepting me, because in my hood, you couldn't come to another hood smiling. You know, you can't be, that's a sign of weakness. But once I started engaging at Partners in Hope and seeing the love and the compassion for others, then that's really where the answer's at. So that's all we do is offer that. But we challenge guys with their thinking, because the change has to come from the inside. And we have so many strongholds. So many believe, I thought what I thought was love really wasn't love. You know, when you say you love your wife, but you're hitting her upside the head, is that really love? And then I didn't realize that how me and my relationship with my significant other would impact my kids. Mm. So it's so many of those things that I had to learn by accepting the fact that I didn't know nothing. So that's what we kind of work with the guys for. We kind of let them know, hey, we're going to have to relearn some things. And when because they want to know, how did we get out? And we offer hope by them seeing a lot of guys I grew up with, and I was a very, very violent guy at one time, but it was a lot because of my insecurities, and I was trying to prove myself and so on and so forth, and involved in the gangs. And when I realized I didn't have to, and it was okay to love my brother, it was okay to care about someone else. And we, in our core, all men really, I believe, really want to care for others. It's just a sign of weakness in certain places.
Mm, I think you are probably a wonderful mentor in many, many different ways, and I'm sure ways that you won't even know, and people that you won't even know that you're impacting, realizing that you have been changed and transformed, and now you want to go out and help others to be changed and transformed. It's just wonderful. We are going to take some time in the next segment to dive into a little bit more about specifically what are some of the services that you offer. But we're also going to talk about impact and effectiveness, in case you didn't kind of catch that already in what we've talked about so far. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and we're ending our last segment today with a conversation with LT Austin and Bob Wolf, founders of Hope Through Restoration. So, Bob, give us a quick lowdown on, some of the different programs that you offer, and then LT, you can follow that up with effectiveness.
Thanks. LT and our team every week goes into halfway houses in the city and speaks with the men that are about to come out or coming out of incarceration, and ministers to them in a way that says, hey, to his point earlier, you don't have to die like this. So through that, with the key piece of non-chaotic, safe, sober living, we were able to open a house about a year and a half ago, one house that houses six men. They each have their own room. So they sign a six-month lease. They learn how to pay rent. They get jobs. LT's got a great association with a company that hires our guys, get some jobs. They learn how to pay rent. And the key is to become successful and ready for independent living long-term. So financial literacy, wellness, dealing with some of their past issues, also a weekly Bible study, voluntary, but how do I put biblical principles to work in my life to be successful in my independent living? Love, care, compassion, et cetera. Transportation to AODA programs, many come from addiction as well. And then re-engagement programs with their kids and their family. So it's a plethora of programming built and managed by LT and our team that really engages one-on-one with those individuals depending on their individual need and where they come from. That gets them ready. That gets them ready for successful independent living.
Okay, great. Well, LT, speak to us about the effectiveness then.
I think all those programs that we do are really important, but I think some of the core to those things is, I would say, the fruits of the spirit. And even with that, I would just say the understanding and the acceptance that they feel when they engage with us. Some of the guys have been in and out of incarceration since they were 11 years old, you know, and then some of them are coming back from doing 30 years in prison, but prior to that, they were in juvenile. And so they really don't know much about living in society. And so when they get out, people say, get them a job and get them a place to live and they'll be okay. That's not true. Mm-hmm. There's so much more that comes with that. And because of our lived experience, we can walk them through that. And so we do with guys like that. There's a gentleman by the name of, we call him Joe. He just came in and it was so hard for him to tear loose from preparing to go back to prison because he's been in and out all his life. And so I had to let him know, hey, man, don't worry about that. We're going to walk with you through this whole transformation. We'll help let you know just how to be. Because he's like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to live out here. You know, and so he would constantly go back to using because living out here was different for him. He's sure. more comfortable in a controlled environment. And we have another gentleman. He just got out of prison, I think, in July. And no one, he didn't have any support, anything. He was way up, 3 hours away, and Bob drove up there to pick him up, brought him here. He didn't have anything. We got him a job, and now all he wanted to do, he prayed to God that he just wanted to see his daughter graduate, which she was 17. She'd graduate next month, I believe. When he got here, he got a job. He's been working consistently. He has over $12,000 saved up. But the part about that that's amazing, I think, is not only will he get to see his daughter graduate, she just got accepted in USC, and he took her to USC for a five-day tour to California, her and his nephew. So he was able to save up enough money to do that and still have over $12,000. We monitor their funds because we want to make sure when they do move on, they can prepare for a better quality of life. They don't have to just live in any neighborhood. So those are the kind of things that we do to continue to bring hope.
And the goal with the saving, too, is so that when they leave, they don't just necessarily need to become renters again. Mm-hmm. We collaborate with other organizations to try to help them become first-time homebuyers so that when they leave, they have enough money where they could actually have a down payment. And since they're working and they now have a track record, they can become homeowners and really help transform, obviously, their families but also their neighborhoods. So it's really trying to get them a fresh start and a foundation for successful independent living. Completely different than what they're used to.
And the first-time home buyer program is basically for those that when they go, because the first 6 months is for them. The goal is for everyone to at least have $10,000 to $15,000 to move on to prepare. Now, when they want an extension, which would take another 6 months, then they're prepared. We put them through the first-time home buyer program where we can help them become homeowners. We have some other nonprofits in the inner city that works with us from that perspective. So
you're really, you know, giving them lots of education and
preparing
and support, no judgment, like you said, kind of I've been there, done that kind of thing, right, LT? And to say, hey, look at where I am right now, you know, and I want you to be successful like I have been successful, and you're giving it back and again paying it forward. That's all wonderful. I understand that you're beginning to work with young men soon as well. Tell us what you're doing in that area.
We're working with the ones that are aging out of foster care and the juvenile justice system. As I said, I've been involved in gangs. I grew up in the inner city, so I've been a part of a lot of those the chaos. And I know without a positive male role model, when I turned 18 and they said, you're grown now, I didn't know what that meant. So I still behaved as a 15-year-old and did a lot of things as a juvenile, but I had adult consequences. Mm-hmm. And once I got those felonies on my record, and then I got out and I tried to go to the military, they wouldn't let me go because I had a felony. So I couldn't get a job. Back then, it wasn't easy to get jobs. We didn't have as many programs. but the streets always embraced me. So they kept me going through the same thing over and over again. So I was out there for 35 plus years. Wow. And living that lifestyle. And so, you know, I think that,
Now, based on that, so we started with men coming out of incarceration because they need restoration. But now the goal with the youth is so that they can learn early enough and maybe have a place to go where they can learn successful independent living before they get into too much trouble, right? And then have to spend years in prison. So one of our houses is dedicated toward those coming out of incarceration, and the other house is dedicated towards the youth, aging 17 to 23.
Okay.
And they need that help. We know they need that help.
Similar program, just different age group.
Okay, and you're walking alongside them, taking them through that, and putting them on a good path. All good stuff. What would you like the audience to know? Again, we've talked about a lot of different things today, but is there a particular thing that you want them to take away from the interview? And then also, how can they help you guys?
I think I'd just say that we do recover with that.
There's hope for recovery and restoration?
Yeah. Don't give up on us. Guys that are, because we fall, we make bad choices, and we go through some things, it's not over. Yeah.
And I think a lot, the way I see it, there's a lot of people who, maybe because of the things they were involved with, don't think of themselves as having or being someone that could do something good, right? They're always filled with the shame and the guilt that goes along with that and said, you're always going to be nothing, but that's not true. I mean, there's second chances, there's forgiveness. God gives us grace every day. And that's really what gives them the hope to say, okay, and with LT's help and our team's help, there is hope for me. I can be forgiven. Sometimes, and most importantly, that starts with forgiveness of themselves so that they can start to believe that that can be put behind them and that there is a brighter future ahead. And then, you know, what can the audience do? I mean, you know, find out more about our program. You can help through, you know, we're opening new facilities, so donations of furniture and things that we need to help fix up the house, you know, televisions, furniture, furnishings, refrigerators, things like that. We have to furnish the houses. But I guess, and then obviously, you know, every nonprofit needs, you know, donations. So you can go to our website and check that out too. But I think the key is there's organizations in the city that are offering hope, and folks can take advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah. And I think, like I said at the beginning of the show, the quote from Alexander Pope, to err is human, mm-hmm. to forgive is divine. We all have stuff in our background that we all need forgiveness for, and the good thing is that it's available, right? The other thing that I would say, too, that I believe you, LT, and Bob would agree with is something that you can do for this organization that doesn't cost anything is to pray for the organization and pray for the men that they are working with, and pray to give LT and Bob the strength that they need to come alongside these individuals, and you guys have. But we all get weary. So we could come together and pray for this organization and pray for the good work that they're doing. So again, I want to thank you, LT Austin and Bob Wolf from Hope Through Restoration, for just for the good work that you guys do, sharing your experiences, how you provide positivity, patience, kindness, compassion to the people that you serve in so many ways. So thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. If you'd like further information about what we talked about today, you can reach out directly to Community Warehouse or Hope Through Restoration. And if you know of a great organization doing great work in our community that you think would be a great guest for the show, or if there's a specific topic that you want to learn more about, you feel free to email me at jill@ellenbecker.com. Tune in Sunday mornings at 10 to Milwaukee's philanthropic community to learn more about the ways people and organizations are making a difference in our community. You can tune in to News Talk 1130 on your radio. You can also visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows, as well as learn about all the ways that we at Ellen Becker are involved in the community. If you'd like to get involved in some way, but you aren't sure how to get started or where to plug in, I recommend listening to some past interviews. This will introduce you to some nonprofits you may not have known existed, and it'll give you some ideas for how you can make a difference for someone, and perhaps even change the future for someone in our community, whether that's by donating, volunteering, mentoring, or advocating for a specific cause or an organization. I challenge you to be that person that shows love and kindness and patience and compassion to someone struggling in some way. I'm confident in so doing that you will be a blessing and you will give blessings in more ways than you know. So thank you for listening today and have a great day.